We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. I'm on the media tour of the media event over at the FedEx St. Jude Golf Tournament and learning all about what they have in store over here. So that's what I'm doing this fine Thursday.
Yeah, and I saw No More Hush, Y'all. We have a Get Loud, Y'all Cup instead.
Well, at 14, they're trying to make it sort of a signature, you know, waste management type hole, right? With they're trying to make it rowdy.
Yeah.
And the par three. And so, yeah, they have new seating here, sort of. And yes, they're encouraging people to be rowdy. That's the idea. So, it's not, you know, they work hard at this. They are going to have a towel giveaway every day, a different sort of a theme from, you know, from borrowing from the Goral towel, a different towel every day that they will be giving away. And whatever, they do a nice job out here. And it's going to be hot, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, now let's get to Zach Edey. Zach Edey cleared to play tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
Against, I believe, the Pelicans? Is it the Pelicans summer league team?
It is the Pelicans.
Yes.
And it was, I don't know if you heard this, it was my stone cold 5-star lock of the year that he was playing tonight.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
So my reputation was at stake. I said it on my show. I said it on John's show. Thursday's the day that I'm wildly overexposed. And but listen, if they kept insisting he's not shut down, he's not shut down, he's not shut down, and today is literally the last game where you could be certain that the Grizzlies aren't playing. No, but if they win tonight over the hapless Pelicans, they will play again presumably Saturday. But it only stood to reason that he's playing tonight. You know, he's not shut down, he's not shut down, he's not shut down, and there's only one game left. When is he playing? Well, tonight would make sense. So it seems to me we're going to get to see Zach Edey.
I'm glad we don't have to have any more Twitter debates, though. That has been, like, who? The Grizzlies spokespeople said he's not shut down and he will play again before summer league's
debate?
Over.
What has
it's
been
just,
the debate?
No real debate. It just feels like PTSD over all the injuries
right.
from last year. That's all it really feels like.
And I get if people have a little PTSD over it. I just have never thought it was a big deal.
Right.
But the other things, honestly, it's the most interesting thing. We want to see him play. And now we will. But, yeah, I always thought the need, the desire to shut him down was I didn't understand that, and then I didn't understand the alarm over him being shut down or whatever. So, yeah, I look forward to it. This will be fun.
Yes, 100%. I'm just glad that that's all over with and people can get back to their regularly scheduled programming. What have you thought of G.G. Jackson the last couple nights? He's been showing out, looking good. I know a lot of people wanted to see, you know, him, you know, get his teammates more involved, but he is taking better shots. He's rebounding at a high level, giving effort. And it's kind of strange. Like, I wanted to see him share the ball a little bit more, but I don't think in summer league that's his role. It never was going to be his role.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the thing that has stuck out is that, you know, once you get past that first dud of a game, you're reminded what a breath of fresh air he is in terms of his personality, you know, the joy he brings, his interactions with Zach Edey. He's just fun, you know. He's just fun. And he's the way, in many ways, that you would like to hope that if you were lucky enough to be a pro basketball player, that you would approach it with the kind of enthusiasm and wide-eyed joy that he does. And so that's sort of been a reminder there. In terms of the rest of it, sure, he didn't have an assist last night. Not one, right? You would like to see that. I think in the end that the things that we need GG to prove, which is that he can be a good ninth or tenth man in a rotation when surrounded by much better players, or players who are higher in the pecking order anyway, that is literally impossible to prove in the summer league, right? That is not by definition. The biggest question with GG is, can you be an efficient player when you are the ninth man best, you know, in the rotation? And that is something that by definition he will not be in the summer league. And so I'm not alarmed by it. I do think it'll be a struggle. I think it'll be a struggle for him. It's not how he seems to be naturally wired, right? So, but that remains to be seen, and it doesn't have to be answered right away, and he can have his up moments and down moments when the season begins. But you're also reminded, in addition to what a joy, the dude can get his shots.
Yes.
The dude can get his shots. He's athletic. Get his shot off against anyone, and obviously last night, except from the line, he was very good.
Yeah, and it beats the hell out of some of the performances we've seen out there in summer league from guys that you know, other teams are expecting to do something. Alex Saar the other night was just insane. That is one of the most insane summer league lines. 0 for 15 from the field, 0 for 7 from 3, 0 for 2 from the free throw line, 0 points. And he was fine on the defensive end, but that offensive performance definitely outshines that.
It would be worrisome. And I honestly feel a little bad for the way, you know, if you are as bad as that team was this year and you get the second pick in the draft and you get, you know, like, it's very clear. People thought he would be a force on the defensive end and a project offensively.
Yes.
And that appears, and he can still be that. The fact that he went 0 of 15 doesn't mean he can't be that. But when you're picking number two, you just want to be, you know, the Grizzlies were picking number two and they got John Moran.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what you want when you're picking two. You don't want to get a guy who, even the summer league, can go 0 of 15. So, that would be a little demoralizing if you were a fan of the Wizards, but happily, the Grizzlies are not in that predicament.
Yeah, and he fell down to plus 1,000 in the Rookie of the Year odds. Zach Edey's still at the top. I don't think there's any surprise there.
Honestly, I don't see it. I think Zach Edey could easily be in the top five of the voting.
Right.
And I think, as Chris Harrington has pointed out, Zach Edey could be the one rookie who literally starts opening.
Yes, that's the thing that's helping him.
But he's not going to put up numbers. He's just not, right? I mean, he's just not. He's not going to have big numbers anyway. So, you know, Reed Sheppard, the problem with Reed Sheppard is that's an awfully crowded, you know, backcourt in terms of, like, who's going to be getting the shots. But I can definitely see, whether it's Stephon Castle or Reed Sheppard or someone who's going to be in a position to put up bigger numbers than Zach Edey is. I think Zach Edey could easily be on the raw rookie team. I would not place a bet for Zach Edey as Rookie of the Year.
The ones that are interesting, though, are like Matas Buzelis, Stephon Castle, Terrence Shannon Jr., guys like that, because they're going to have opportunity, right, theoretically.
Exactly. I think Castle is not bad. Now, he hasn't shot that well, but I think Castle has a real shot at it. I when Zach Edey is doing what Zach Edey is supposed to be doing, he's going to be setting screens for Ja Morant to score. Like, and is that going to get him Rookie of the Year votes? I don't know. I find it hard to believe.
A stat line of 8 points, 10 rebounds, right, and two blocks a game, I just don't know if that's going to get you there.
Right.
I mean, because Walker Kessler had a really good rookie year, but he was still third in voting, and he had similar stats. He had stats that looked like that. 8-8,
and mind you,
3 blocks
a game. Who were the better rookies that year? Who were the two who won, though? It could be that it's a thin, that it was a, it's a, I presume it was a more robust rookie class. So we'll see.
Yeah. Was that Paolo Banchero? I think that was Paolo Banchero's.
Yeah, so he put up numbers, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But you don't have anybody like that. You don't
There's
have
no
anybody
one who
close
you just
to that.
No, is going to put up big numbers. There's no one. Because the first two picks of the draft, you know, is Risa Shea. He's going to get chances, but I don't think he's going to put up massive numbers. Sarr's not going to put up massive numbers. And then the guy like Castle could be really good, but he's not a shooter. And so he could run a team and play great defense and everything else and be invaluable. But, you know, and then Reed Shepard, he could light it up. But is he going to, given the how many, you know, good young wing players they have, where is he going to fit exactly? So I don't think there's a clear favorite.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, I do think there's a clear favorite on the WNBA side. I got to be honest with you, Jeff. Last week I thought it was such a non-discussion because I still thought it was Caitlin Clark. But last week, when a lot of people were debating who's the real rookie of the year, I always thought it was ridiculous. When you look at rookies of the year or rookies this year, and Caitlin Clark, she's what? Let me make sure I get this right. First in points per game, first in assists per game, first in steals per game, first in 3-pointers made, third in blocks per game, fourth in rebounds per game. I don't think there's anybody in the history that's been a rookie in any league that has led in that many categories who has not ran away with Rookie of the Year. And it ought to be unanimous, in my opinion.
Seems like she's good at basketball. It is pretty astounding. And obviously, with the news as it's developed, that she was invited to participate in the three-point shooting contest and declined, as did Ionescu. Because that seems like a huge whiff for the league.
Yeah.
The idea that you would have those two who could be competing in a three-point contest, and they both declined. Well, first, the news first came out that neither one was going to be in it, and then subsequently we have learned that they were invited, which makes all the sense in the world, and they declined, which is too bad, honestly.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think they've had some missteps along the way, but that's not their fault. She's been playing basketball nonstop for how long at this point, through the college year and then the WNBA year?
Yeah. No, and if she wants to take a year off and come back and but the advantage of the 3-point contest, unlike the dunk contest, is that people still do it, you know, and you would hate to get in a position where people don't do it any longer. So, we're already starting to see that with the home run derby a little bit, that, you know, the biggest stars don't necessarily all do it. So you would like the stars to participate in this, but I'll certainly give her a pass for year one.
Talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Something that wasn't on my bingo card, something I just did not see as a fit or expect. Russell Westbrook, there's a sign-and-trade, second-round pick swap. Chris Dunn goes to the Clippers, and Russell Westbrook ends up on the Jazz. They end up buying him out, and he ends up with the Nuggets. I'm going to talk about this after I get off the phone with you. How am I supposed to feel about that? I have no idea. I don't know how to feel.
I'm skeptical. I mean, I was reading the Athletic piece about it, and evidently Jokic is a believer in him. They obviously, they lose KCP. They had a thin team to begin with. And the idea is can he still at least get downhill? Can he still create for other people? And can he still soak up minutes? He's still in great shape. This is the argument. He can still soak up minutes for a team that is incredibly thin and that needs someone to, you know, you don't need to be playing your two best players all the time, carrying the load all the time. Russell Westbrook, for good or ill, likes to carry the load, right? So he can soak up innings, and he can still get downhill. I mean, his shooting has always been iffy and now has just been dreadful lately. He's not been an efficient player. But evidently Jokic believes in him, so I'm skeptical, but that seems to be the reasoning.
I mean, without question, bench role, right? Same role he's playing with the Clippers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think without question, coming off the bench.
Yeah. Now, SEC Media Day has been rolling along, and something I've been talking about since last Friday, Florida State and their litigation with the ACC. Greg Sankey, if you've heard him talk about this situation, which he kind of tries to throw it to the side until people force him to speak on it, they are not interested at all in Florida State. And we also had a report from Brett McMurphy that the Big Ten's not interested at all. This is an interesting situation developing for Florida State. If they are able to get out of their ACC grant of rights, they don't really have a landing spot that's an upgrade, theoretically. Because even with the Big 12, to angle your way out of the ACC to get to the Big 12 just seems like a... Sure, it's maybe a little bit better, and you have a little bit more stability, but that's not what they were aiming to do.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked Jeffrey about this today, and his theory was, and I'm not a particular expert on this, but his theory was that, of course, the Big Ten and the SEC would say they're not interested because you don't, for all kinds of legal reasons, want to be, you know, looking like you're beckoning a team to leave. And his theory is that, in fact, the Big Ten in particular would be interested. You know, new sort of territory for the Big Ten. So I don't know. It obviously does not make sense to leave the ACC to go to the Big 12. That does not seem like a great escape plan, you know. And so whether they've had discussions, quiet discussions that make them think that there could be a better landing spot, who knows? Brett McMurphy's reporting on this. He's as good as there is when it comes to conference realignment stories. And so I do not doubt his reporting on this. And he sort of suggests that neither of those conferences is interested. It just doesn't make any sense to me to leave the ACC to go to the Big 12. So, yeah. Yes, that is fascinating. Well, I'll say this, though. Florida State is, for whatever, it's not a perfect school, it's not a perfect program, is a big name. If Florida State's on TV, you know, it is a signature name. Can you name 15 schools with higher profile football programs? I don't know that you can.
Yeah.
And so do I really believe that neither of those conferences would be interested? I'm kind of skeptical.
Well, but I think
conferences would ultimately be interested.
They'd be interested in like a half share, like, well, giving them less, I'm sure.
They'd be interested in paying them whatever, however little they can pay in order to get them. But I don't know. Like, how many schools? I'm just asking. How many schools in the Big Ten right now have a better brand name in football than Florida State?
I think three for sure. Penn State, Michigan, Ohio.
Okay, so. Very clearly. Clearly. I'll grant you that. But anyone else?
So
you can add a school that is your fourth biggest name? I mean, Oregon has a pretty big name. Has a big name.
Oh, yeah, now. I forgot. Oregon, Washington, yeah. Debatable there, too.
Are you going to say Washington? I don't think Washington has a bigger name than Florida State. They had a great year last year. I don't think they have a bigger name than Florida State.
Yeah.
I actually think Florida State has a bigger brand name.
I keep coming back to this, and Connor and I keep bringing this example up. When you're going to make a hire, for example, and you're a boss, like the SEC commissioner, Big Ten commissioner, but you're going to make a hire, and you talk to a former employer, right? And that former employer's like, well, they are just they're great at their job. Don't get it twisted. They're awesome at their job. And I really respect the work they've done for me over the years. But good God, are they the biggest pain in the ass I've ever dealt with. I think that's what they're running into right now to a certain extent.
Ass, or are they a pain in the ass because of their circumstances? Would anyone be a pain in the ass trapped in the ACC when you'd be making much more money? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Are they intrinsically a pain in the ass?
It seems that way. Yeah.
Why do you wish bad things on Mike Norvell? Is my question.
I don't. I don't. It has nothing. It has nothing to do with that.
To acknowledge the greatness of Mike Norvell. By the way, we haven't gotten to my all important story that I now have up at the Daily Memphis.
Okay.
When you played football for the University of Memphis, did you draw inspiration from that flag that was above the stadium?
I saw this.
And
no, I didn't.
Did you have any idea that it was as old as it is?
I had no earthly idea.
It is. I didn't
100
know. 100
years like, old.
It is more than 100 years old. Like, so I have wondered since it's been something that I've sort of been eating at me. I'm like, okay, I know they're doing this renovation, and I know they're tearing down the press box. Today we had Jeff Crane on, and he emphasize to people that, listen, we're not just, you know, we're starting this. We're starting demolition before the season begins on the west side. So y'all better get in here, get your tickets. It's going to be down to 32,000 capacity before the season begins for next year. But one of the things I always wondered was, okay, with the press box coming down, what are they doing with this flag, this you know, illuminated flag that has been there for so long? And he told me that, listen, they've been trying to preserve it. It is super old. They haven't figured out where it's going to go, but they know it's a treasure, and they have to do something with it. And so then I talked to Jimmy Ogle, who's sort of an official, unofficial Memphis historian, and he explained to me that this flag flew once upon a time on top of a commercial appeal building that was in the early 1900s at Second and Court. The CA, or Memphis Publishing, then moved to 495 Union, and the flag moved. It then moved to a different building, the building, the shiny building on Union that used to be the CA building. When the paper moved again, they donated this thing to the Liberty Bowl. And they said the conditions are that you have to take care of the flag, and it's got to be lit every single night, every single day. And so that's what's happened, and there it has been ever since. And so now what do you do with this thing? Do I really care? No. But
it's
now
a freaking staple, though. It's a staple.
You know, yeah, it's a staple. It's more than 100 years old. How many things in Memphis, as Jimmy Ogle said, are 100 years old and still work? You know, the flag is so old that it has 45 stars because there were only 45 states when they created the damn thing. It's got 45 stars because even Oklahoma, Arizona, New Mexico were not yet states, and certainly Hawaii and Alaska were not yet states before this flag was constructed. So it is a piece of history, and I think it's impressive and only right that they are preserving it.
Are there going to be issues with the wiring and everything with how old it is?
There are going to be lots of issues with all kinds of things. It's a 111-year-old flag or something. So, and it's really just made of metal with light bulbs, you know. So, you know, they're going to have to do some beefing up, but it will be fascinating, don't you think, to see the football stadium with the whole west side basically removed.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, and 32,000, if they're good enough, I think there could be multiple sellouts for 32,000.
I think there could be multiple sellouts, yes. Yes. Yeah.
But I honestly, what's the final number of fans what's the final, when they get this whole thing done, what's it, around 53 or 48?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Something
off the top of my head, I don't know.
Yeah.
He said that there's 90% renewal rate on season tickets, and they've sold another 1,000. So, but very clearly, you know, the reason that Jeff Crane wants to come on is because they want people to, you know, go ahead and get their, they're making another ticket push, as they do typically this time of year.
Sure.
So I think most of the seats up to row 25 on the west side, most of those seats, those are the only ones that are going to remain on the west side. Most of those seats are sold out. They have a few hundred maybe left that they can still sell. But yeah, there's going to be more shortage than there has been. You know, typically you've known that, hey, I want to get a ticket, I can get a ticket,
yes,
you know, the Saturday of the game. Now there may be lots of Saturdays when you can, if they have the season that they hope to have. And so, you know, his message was go ahead and get your tickets now.
Isn't it kind of it's a tad bit of a bummer this season, is this season you're lowering it that much, lowering the capacity that much, right? To
yeah,
a certain extent. I know what it signifies and what's going to come of the Simmons
right.
Bank Liberty Stadium, but this of all years with
right.
the college football playoff, the opening,
yeah,
how good you are, the continuity, it's a little bit of a bummer.
I think that's probably right. On the other hand, it's like Northwestern is going to be playing at a 15,000 seat temporary stadium that they're throwing up on the banks of Michigan, on the shores of Lake
yes.
Michigan. So at least you've got 30 some. So
that'll
good.
Be a cool backdrop. The one thing I'm worried about
cool.
with Northwestern, by the way, though, the wind right there.
Oh, that's true.
That wind will be pretty brutal.
Right,
some days.
That could be brutal. Yeah,
yeah,
that could be a cold. That could be some cold Saturdays.
And
there.
I remember when they were building that new indoor facility. They have a cool facility over there, right on the lakefront. That's it'll be a cool backdrop, but damn.
It is beautiful. Yes, absolutely gorgeous.
And Ryan Field is like 800 years old, too. I wonder.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What the I know, honestly, they're dealing with a similar situation to what we're dealing with here in Memphis with their stadium. Somewhat similar builds, except there's an opening at Ryan Field where at the Liberty Bowl there's not.
They have lots of very well-heeled boosters, so I think they're – I forgot the budget price on what they're redoing. But, no, it's good. It's like when you're redoing your bathroom or your kitchen. It's inconvenient for a while, but in the end you're going to have a beautiful, you know, walk-in, beautiful, you know, double-headed shower, so be happy.
Yeah, final thing, Tigers got their home and away conference games – you know, figured out. They don't have dates on them, but this is for basketball. They have, looks like 6 home and homes. They have 3 only away, 3 only at home. I mean, with the lack of power in this conference, does any of this ultimately matter that much? Like, did you have any glaring takeaways from what
I'll
the
be honest.
From what
be
we
honest.
Saw today?
I was racing through getting my all-important flag story up at the Daily Memphian.
Right.
And then I was racing to come out here to the golf tournament. So I have not even scrutinized and broken down the schedule as I normally would.
Okay.
So, no.
So we'll save it. We'll save it. How about that?
Right.
We'll save it, and I'll let you roll.
Thank you, Gabe.
Appreciate it, Jeff. That's Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store making waves in Memphis for over a decade. Get over. Convenient store location off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. 964 June Road. to be exact. I'll get the online store in just a second. But when you get in there, two-story storefront, kind and courteous staff, Earl the dog will walk up, and he will want you to pet him. And know what you're going to do? You're going to bend down, and you're going to pet Earl the dog. That's an A-list celebrity in this city, and you can tell him Gabe sent you, and he will show you in the direction of whatever you need. They have great clothing on the best brands, Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. For your favorite teams, Grizzlies, Tigers, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, you name it, they have it. They even have State. They have a bunch of SEC favorites in there as well. They have hunting and outdoor essentials on the top floor for the hunter in your life. You're trying to get a gift, or if you're just getting something for yourself, go ahead to that top floor. They'll have somebody take care of you. They also have vintage vinyl. They have sports memorabilia. Good autograph selection as well. I mean, I think it got bought already, but they had a Muhammad Ali signed glove in there for quite a while. They have some great stuff, some local stuff as well that you can take advantage of. And then they have your tailgating gear. So if you're getting ready for football season, you're going to get to the Grove, you're going to get to Tiger Lane, make sure you go take advantage of their selection. Cups, coolers, koozies, tumblers. They have everything over there at Oxbow, 964 June Road, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco station. You can get all that stuff online as well, though. ShopOxbow.com is where you find them. And when you fill up that shopping cart with whatever your heart desires, use my promo code, TheGabeShow, all caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow, to get 20% off your online order at ShopOxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we have some very interesting things to talk about. The Grizzlies are moving along right now in Summer League. We'll give you an update on that. We'll talk about last night's game. And then we'll get to what I talked about with Jeff. Russell Westbrook is a Denver Nugget. Pairing him alongside Jamal Murray and the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. How should we feel about that? I'll tell you what I feel next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The Grizzlies are playing for all the marbles in Summer League today against the lowly New Orleans Pelicans Summer League team, who's 0-3 at this point. Grizzlies are 3-0. And the top four teams in Summer League, I think you remember in the Brandon Clark year, they ended up winning a Summer League championship. We were talking about parade routes and everything else for it, and Brandon Clark won the MVP that year, I believe, of Summer League. But the Grizzlies are 3-0, and if they win today, they will get more games. They'll get some bonus games. But I know everybody is paying attention to what Zach Edey is doing. He got back on the floor, but through 7 minutes, he's now on the bench. 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block. Yeah, and he's 3-for-3 from the field. And what I like about this, him returning for this game, he played against Walker Kessler, slower pace, big.
Traditional.
Barreling, traditional big. Now he's playing against Eve Misi, and I know Eve Misi has a lot. He was their first-round pick for the New Orleans Pelicans, and I actually like the guy out of Baylor. But he's a different style of big. He runs up and down the floor. He's a rim-running big. I just think it's a different style that Zach Edey's going to have to compete with, and we'll see if he can get similar results against a guy like that. That's why I wanted to see Zach Edey come back, because there's different styles that he's going to have to get used to, and I think these two games that he has played so far, I think he's seen both of them.
Yeah, and you know, Eve Misi's having a pretty good game right now, but Zach Edey, they're kind of going, they went back and forth in that first quarter. It was a really good first quarter, and you know, and that's why I am happy he is back, because one, we can relax on the conspiracy theories,
yeah,
because
thank God,
y'all, put down the tinfoil hats. Please put down the tinfoil hats. We watched Zach Edey turn his ankle 10 days ago.
And go to a shrink also for the PTSD.
Yes, I understand that people have hesitation with how the Grizzlies deal with injuries because of what happened with Steven Adams, but that doesn't mean we have to apply that to every single situation. We all watched Zach Edey with our eyeballs turn his ankle, and then 10 days later, he came back and played yeah. basketball. They said they wanted him to come back during Summer League. He did. I don't think that there was a transparency issue here with the Memphis Grizzlies
at
all. It was clear to me he was day-to-day. He was a day-to-day. It was an ankle. If he was able to play, he would have. They didn't shut him down. He wanted to play. He was doing interviews. they were pretty damn transparent with it.
You want to talk about transparency? One, interviews out there every day. He talked with Kendra Andrews yesterday on an ESPN broadcast. Didn't have any brace or, walking boot, nothing. It didn't matter. And then also, A Grizzlies spokesperson said he's not shut down and he will play before summer league's over. It was as transparent in a good way as we've been, you know, as a lot of Grizzlies fans have been wanting for a while.
Well,
it was just, it's just the PTSD from last year.
I get the injuries
continues to just percolate through everyone's head. And I get it, but calm down.
Breathe in.
Right.
Hold it for 10 seconds. Breathe out.
Right.
Breathe out. And we said yesterday on the show, Drew Hill on his podcast said that he was not expected to play the first night of the back-to-back, but he is probable to play the second game. And he played the second game. That's why I don't understand where these transparency questions are coming from. I understand in the past the Grizzlies have had some moments that haven't been great with it, but with this one specifically, I just don't think there are really any issues. But we can put that behind us now, move forward. Zach Edey is back. We can all feel good about it. He's back on the basketball court, so he's playing again. And then, you know, G.G. Jackson, man.
Playing well.
He has been really, really, really good. He was excellent last night. Excellent last night. And you and I have talked about a few times how we wish that we saw a little bit more playmaking from G.G., but at the end of the day, we're really not too worried about it because his role for the Grizzlies is going to be to go out there and score. It's going to be fill up the basket. And he's shown such a great improvement on the rebounding game that I'm okay. I think that playmaking will come. And guess what? He's got 3 assists right now,
actually. Today, 9 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds. And he's got 0 turnovers. And then, like, I look at what he did last night, and I think that's more impressive, quite frankly.
Yeah.
27 points, 13 rebounds. He had 2 double-doubles back-to-back in summer league.
He's so talented.
I think while we want to see the assist numbers and, okay, go help your teammates, I think we probably should have come into this summer league session with a little more realistic thought process, just because G.G. Jackson is the leader on this team. He's going to be the head-up scorer, the leading scorer. You should have understood that maybe that wasn't going to be. And you have Scottie Pippen and Jake LaRavia and Cam Spencer all dishing out assists. I think his best role with the Grizzlies is going to be an off-ball scorer. He's not going to be a guy with the Grizzlies team as a 9th or 10th guy in the rotation. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be an offensive facilitator. He's going to be a guy who goes and gets his own shot, puts the ball in the bucket. I think we should have had a different mindset probably looking back at it, hindsight 2020, going into summer league.
I think we had less of an expectation for it, more of like a hope that we might see that wrinkle in his game while still being okay with this 19-year-old going out there and filling it up and showing what he can do. We've said it many times now, but Desmond Bane, for a reason, said that he is the second most talented player he has ever played with next to John Morant, and he is showing it in summer league. The potential that he has on the offensive side of the basketball is through the roof, and it's really exciting, and that's why that playmaking and getting other guys involved, all that stuff will come with time. Now he's got 4 assists, so he's clearly trying to prove a point today.
And can we also, I want to point this out, about his three-point shooting. Not only is it just impressive, but the guy, the range he has is insane. You can't get a hand up in his face on some of those because he's from 35 feet out and he's knocking them down.
I think one of your best takes from last season, you bullseyed it, was they should try to deploy G.G. Jackson the same way the Nuggets deploy Michael Porter Jr. And it's not like he's known for his passing, and he's still very effective. And to be quite honest, I think that G.G. Jackson gives you more on the defensive end of the basketball and on the boards. He is a plus rebounder. Like right now, he has 9 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. That is an excellent first half from G.G. Jackson. So everybody just pump the brakes with G.G. And because I have seen some people going after him, but it's like, we got to remember, this kid is 19 years old. Chip Williams had a great tweet about how many guys he is still younger than in the NBA that were first-round picks this year. It's a lot of players. He is going to continue to develop into something special, but we have got to give him time. And if he is going to be deployed as an offensive weapon and go fill it up next year, go do that, man. And I'm going to be excited to watch it.
And also, don't lose sight of the fact that through his summer league this year, you want to know the averages? These aren't bad. 20.2 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game, 48.7, 49% true shooting percentage.
I'll take it.
There's worse stat lines. Right there, we saw Alex Saar the other night. There are worse things that could have happened for G.G. Jackson summer league.
For sure,
besides not just you know, not being the facilitator and the assist guy that you wanted him to be. Now let's get into some broader NBA news, and that has to do with the Denver Nuggets. Today, the Los Angeles Clippers sent Russell Westbrook a second round pick swap and cash for the Utah Jazz to facilitate a sign-and-trade agreement for guard Chris Dunn. So Chris Dunn ends up on the Clippers. Russell Westbrook ends up on the Jazz for the second time in 3 years in multiple trades that he's been a part of. And then the Jazz agreed on a contract buyout with Russell Westbrook, and it cleared the way directly to the Denver Nuggets being able to pick him up after he cleared waivers. So now Russell Westbrook pairs up with Jamal Murray and with the reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic. On the surface, okay, it's another star that's on his last leg. They can give you some nice facilitation off the bench. He can attack the rim a little bit still, and he can certainly help out with a little bit of depth after losing, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jeff Green, Bruce Brown, all these guys the past 2 years. But on that same token, like, I just don't really get the fit. It doesn't make the most sense in the world. I guess you lost Reggie Jackson. You need a secondary ball handler and a guy to come in when Jamal Murray's off the floor, but he can't really shoot. You didn't replace any shooting with him, and all he's doing is sort of filling in for Reggie Jackson. And I honestly think with that particular team, the Denver Nuggets, Reggie Jackson's probably a better fit with that team.
Maybe.
Than Russell Westbrook at this point in his career.
Maybe. If they get the Russ that the Clippers got last year, it'll be a good pickup for them. You know, I think it's a good pickup, but ultimately it doesn't push them over the hill, and they still have a lot of ground to make up from the
guys. It doesn't do anything to alleviate the fears I have after them losing those four guys the last 2 years.
I think
those four great role players.
I truly do think you can make an argument that he's better than Reggie Jackson for them. What's interesting about it is it sounds like Jokic was a huge proponent of bringing in Russell Westbrook, and I'm curious if he is intrigued by the cutting options that he will have with Russ, because he's going to be moving all over the court. And you know that if, you know, whenever they play together, I do think that Jokic is going to be able to use him in a pretty good way. And if Russ comes in and he plays that six-man role, he's okay coming off the bench. I do think he can be effective for them. But at the end of the day, like you said, they need more shooting. It's that simple for the Denver Nuggets. They have allowed really good shooters to walk the last few seasons, and that's what they need to bring in. So you can't replace Russell Westbrook, or you can't replace, you know, Bruce Brown and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with Russell Westbrook. I know that's a dumb moment, but you can replace, I think, Reggie Jackson with them, but they still have a lot of work to do.
What I see this as at this point in the game, with a lot of free agents out, no free agents in, I see this, and I saw Zach Lowe talk about this earlier on ESPN. It's a why not signing.
Sure, yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You bring in a guy, you want a culture and an identity off the bench with a guy facilitating, initiating offense. Russell Westbrook can do that for you. And I do think what will be interesting to watch, and this is a little bit more in the weeds, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray play that two-man game on the offensive end. They're really good in the half court, and they tend to slow it down a little bit more. Yeah, they can get out and run the break, but they're a little more slow, developed. They take their time when the ball's in their hands. I think Russell Westbrook can definitely, with the bench group, provide a change of pace that's going to be, it could be hard to defend when you're going from that first group to Russell Westbrook running up and down the floor like a madman.
And, Gabe, what's our favorite thing about the Denver Nuggets? The altitude. It's going to be hell to keep it up with Russell Westbrook in that high altitude.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that X factor?
Yeah, but I think that change of pace is...
Yeah.
I get the idea. I just don't know how well it's actually going to work, because they need more pieces. They need more shooting.
It makes them,
it's that simple.
It makes them better, but they still have a lot of shooting.
It makes them better than they were yesterday.
Yes.
Not at the end of the season.
Which is a step in the right direction. Like, Saric and Russell Westbrook are going to be good pickups, and if Holmes hadn't gotten injured, that would have been
three solid
guys to be adding to this roster. But when you let guys like KCP walk and Bruce Brown walk, and your replacements are players that at the end of the day just can't, they can't shoot three-pointers, it's going to make your offense look a little bit different. And that starting lineup that was arguably the best in the NBA last season and the year before, you just can't make that argument for them anymore. So they have a lot of work to do. It's I think the why not signing is the perfect moniker for it. It's perfect.
Yes, and then why is Danny Ainge just like, he just sits there, and whenever Russell Westbrook needs to get traded and get bought out, he does it.
Asset management.
he just
that man loves some assets.
Danny Ainge just like, oh, Russell? Oh, yeah, cool. Just we'll send you this. Give us a pick swap and some cash. Cool. We'll buy him out. You can go wherever you want, Russ. Because obviously there's no reason to keep him on. There's no reason to ever keep him on a Utah Jazz roster that's kind of flailing around.
Well, but isn't Utah the city he got into it with those fans? Wasn't that Utah?
Probably so. That makes sense.
Sense. Yeah, it does in Utah.
It makes a lot of sense.
I know.
But every time anybody, like, if you ask anybody to facilitate a trade to get Russell Westbrook someone else, here's Danny Ainge coming to the rescue.
You know, what also helps is they're not having to pay him $30 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It looks like, by the way, before we get into small talk and end this hour. Zach Edey must have just re-rolled his ankle.
Oh, no, did he?
I think he just re-rolled his ankle. About 3 minutes ago, Jessica Benson put it out here. Absolutely hate that for Zach Edey. While he was down after re-rolling his ankle, he said, F man, I just want to play. That stinks. That's depressing.
We won't be seeing Zach Edey again.
I think that's
And Eve Meese just took a shot to the face, too, from Gigi Jack. It was an inadvertent elbow. It was an accident that happened on a rebound, but I think Meese might.
I think it's a pretty safe assumption. Yeah, Zach Edey won't play.
Yeah,
the rest of
yeah. Meese's going back to the locker room too. So both of the bigs gone.
I don't think there's any bad minutes he played though. Okay, if this
no,
is
he
the
played
end,
good minutes.
This is the end of
they
the road
minutes.
Here.
8 minutes,
9 minutes, and 34 yeah. minutes. We had a grand total of 43 minutes for Zach Edey in summer league. I don't think there was a bad minute spent really, besides him rolling his ankle. Like that's it. So. We'll keep updating you on that if there is an update to give you. Let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll hop into small talk, wrap up hour number two.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, Connor has a ticking down right now to the time he's going to be able to play college football 25. And EA Sports, everybody's playing it right now. But I want to give a special thanks to a man from CBS Sports, an anchor for CBS Sports. That's Chris Hassel. He gave us an absolute gem, and I want to play this. He covered the headlines from the early season of EA Sports College Football 25. Take it away, Chris.
We have breaking news. Nebraska just rage quit the Cotton Bowl. Quarterback Arch Manning has transferred to Sam Houston State. The dynasty continues. Akron has completed an historic 10-peat. Texas A&M accidentally simmed their Week 3 game and lost. They'll look to bounce back next week. Carson Beck has been benched after pressing square when he meant to press circle. Northeast Arkansas Community College has defeated Alabama. Congratulations to the Delta Dogs. The pursuit of Toledo head coach Mom Spaghetti 420 is heating up. His revolutionary four-verts offense has taken the nation by storm. ACC powerhouse UNLV and reigning SEC champion Idaho are believed to be the frontrunners. Once again, Utah State proving why they're known as Heisman U. Fans are calling last night's Rose Bowl an instant classic after the game ended with a user pick and a broken controller. The noon kickoff has been delayed by a system update. And you better get comfortable because that download speed is horrendous. Handsome Squidward has won his third straight Heisman Trophy. Coach Prime has been bested on the recruiting trail yet again by his arch nemesis, Coach Booger Brains McGee. Actually, we're getting word now that Coach Booger Brains just suffered a major power outage. And he hadn't hit save since last season, so...
That's beautiful. And what's funny to me, Connor, I'm like talking to my friends in a couple of group chats. The amount of friends I've had that have gotten through seasons already of Road to Glory and Dynasty, it's kind of nuts. A lot of non-working behavior going on in our community.
I have a buddy who is already in his second Road to Glory career. Second.
Wait, has he gotten through the first one all?
He was a fifth-year senior.
He got through the whole thing?
He got through the entire thing, and he has already moved on to his second career
okay.
in Road to Glory.
Forgive me for asking, because maybe
he freelances.
Okay, so he's got time on his hands. So he doesn't work directly for any company.
Correct. Okay. He has time.
So is that unemployed? Somewhat unemployed
behavior? Yes.
That's definitely unemployed behavior.
Peak unemployment behavior.
Good for him.
Good though. For him. Honestly, I respect it.
Do we count that as time used wisely? Because I think I do. I think I'm right there with
him. I would say so.
Yeah,
I would say so.
That's a lot, though. 5 year career. So did he have a medical redshirt or what?
I can't remember. I think he redshirted in general because you can do. You know, I think you can do like 1 or 2 star, 3 star, 4 star, 5 star. He did the 3 star, and he decided to play
on
the Heisman. He wanted to work for it. And the second career that he did, he went 4 star, and he started with Ole Miss. So it's a bit different pathway, but it still seems like there are a few weird things happening with it until launch happens. Like one of the college football playoff teams that he had in the college football playoff his senior year when he was playing for Oregon, Western Kentucky?
Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky College Football Playoff?
Eh. 8-4, 9-3 every year.
Kennesaw
under
State,
Tyson Helton.
Western or college football playoff?
Kennesaw State, no. Absolutely
both of them
not.
Were in.
First year, really?
Yes.
First year? I mean, this year is their first year in the game, first year in Division 1A. That's a quick turnaround. If that happens, oh my gosh, whoever that coach is getting paid, getting absolutely paid. And aren't they a triple option? They're a triple option team right now.
Can't stop it.
Getting into the college football playoff as a triple option team would be legendary. Let's go ahead and grab a break, though, and we'll come back with hour number three, and we're going to start it talking some college football with Kyron Samuels. He's from the Pulling Garden Defiant Takes. That's next right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
The light is fading, your hands are sore, and the last tool's been put away. Now's the time to feel the satisfaction that comes with a job well done. But when you get your tools from Harbor Freight, something about the job feels a little different. Your wallet. Because we believe that everyone deserves hardworking tools at hardworking prices. And that's what we have here. So, whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
Got a big yard or piece of land you're taking care of? Come find the right Case IH tractor at Mid-South Ag Equipment. You don't have to be a farmer to shop at Mid-South Ag. A Case IH tractor with 140 horsepower or less is exactly what you need for planting a big garden, mowing excess land, bush hogging for hunting, and more. Forget green and go big red with a Case IH tractor from Mid-South Ag Equipment. In stock right now with 0% financing on Highway 302 just south of Collierville.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.